Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Blazer Banter Podcast. I'm Eric Gunderson. This week, we are joined by Anthony Slater, Oklahoma City Thunder beat writer for The Oklahoman. We talked about Kevin Durant's injury and the changes that the Thunder have made. We recorded this on Thursday before their game against the Suns, which they lost in very close fashion. Also, just a reminder to everyone out there that we're going to be chatting live again using the Fan Cave app, FANKAVE, which you can get on iTunes or Google Play. So join us if you will. Anthony, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a cloudy day in the city of Portland.
Yes, I'm in Oklahoma City for this trip. I'm not heading to Phoenix, where the Thunder are playing tonight. But yeah, it's pretty terrible here. It's supposed to be really cold all across the country, really.
Yeah, especially the middle and the south have super been getting hit. But I know people aren't here to listen to us talk about the weather.
No.
Obviously, we've got a game tomorrow in Portland, Thunder versus the Blazers. So we're going to kind of preview that, but that's obviously not all we're going to talk about. Thunder have won 9 of 10. Going into, Thursday's game against the Suns. It looks like they basically have the 8 seed locked up.
Yeah, I mean, really, in my opinion, they locked up the 8 seed in that crazy hour before the trade deadline last week because, I think they upgraded their roster, getting Enes Kanter, getting DJ Augustine. And then at the same time, they were upgrading the Suns. Lose Goran Dragic, trade Isaiah Thomas, kind of did a 2-for-1 with point guards. They got Brandon Knight back, but they really lost their heart and soul with Dragic. So it seemed like that dropped them off, and then the Thunder kind of pushed up. And it seems to me that we know the 8 playoff teams in the West. We just don't know the seeding.
Yeah, it's basically done now. It was pretty funny the day of the trade deadline. Olshay, it was in front of the reporters, Neil, and he, he just says, everyone says the West is wide open. The West is closed. Like, in this very stern, Neil Olshay letting everybody know. And it was just like, it's true. I mean, the West really is. It's kind of funny. It's basically just going to be the seeding. And I don't even know how much the seeding matters.
No, I mean, it does in the sense of, I think, matchups matter and who you play. But I do think that it's wide open in a sense of when the playoffs start, in my opinion. I mean, I can see a ton of teams winning. And I think there's teams trying to jockey, like, hey, I don't think the Warriors are sitting there at 1, like, it doesn't matter who we play. I think they're saying, I don't want to play the Thunder at 8. So I think there's different, scenarios where teams are worried about seeding. But once it's on, it's going to be on in the West.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, you try and talk to guys, like, if I'm asking, someone on the Blazers about, how do they pay attention to this stuff? And they can't. I mean, it's like, it really doesn't matter until you get there. And so it's just kind of funny. We're all just playing this game. Everyone's just waiting for the playoffs to start. It's not even March yet, and everyone already wants the playoffs to start. So it's pretty funny that we've reached this point already so early in the West after, like, everyone was like, is Oklahoma City going to miss the playoffs?
Yeah. It's true, and I'm assuming a lot of teams feel like that. I don't necessarily think the Thunder are feeling like that because right now they're in this, like, transitional phase of they need to get these new trade pieces meshed in, and they're trying to figure out their roster. And then, they need all the time they can have to rest Durant right now because they, as good as the West is, even doesn't matter how good the Thunder are playing right now, they're obviously not getting out of it unless Durant is healthy and playing well. So I think they're kind of biding their time to not only get a rhythm with these new guys, but also to get Durant back and healthy.
Definitely. It seems like almost every West team has like a little thing, that's kind of going on with them that kind of has them in like flux. You got the Thunder, going through this transition with all those guys that came over in the trade, which, I really like that trade as well. Obviously, they got a lot more talented. I think a guy in that trade that really Hasn't been talked about a lot, which I thought was, like, for me, was the favorite part of my favorite part of the trade was Kyle Singler. Obviously, a lot of people in Oregon are pretty familiar with him, but he's like, I feel like he's one of the first. I mean, Anthony Morrow, I don't think his defense is that great, but like, I know Roberson starts, but I would like to see Singler alongside Durant in that two spot.
Yes, Anthony Morrow's defense has not been as bad as I think in years past. He's actually tries very hard, and I actually think that's like a skill on defense that you know, some of the other Thunder wings, Reggie Jackson when he was here, Deion Waiters at times don't necessarily have. But Kyle Singler, you know, that's part of the lure of him. You know, he's not a sexy name. He's not going to put up numbers, but he's just. He's an upgrade over Perry Jones at like a backup three that can, you know, slide to the two at times, can spell Durant. Cause even if Durant comes back, you're not going to be able to play him 40 plus minutes because then he'll probably be limping around again. So, it was an underrated part of that trade. And I mean, he's in the starting lineup right now.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Yeah, no, Northwest zone, Kyle Singler. No, that trade, I mean, Cantor all of a sudden just starts balling as soon as he gets there. Also, didn't he have, like, 20 in his first game or something?
He went 10 and 13 in the first game at double-double, then he went 20 and 12.
Okay.
And then last game he had, like, 17 and 8. I mean, he's meshed, like, supremely well with Russell Westbrook. Their games, Russell Westbrook's never had, like, a center. I'll just put it this way. The Thunder have been in Oklahoma City for 7 years. Enes Kanter's 20 points, 12 rebounds the other day. That was the first 2010 game from a center in Thunder history. So, I mean, he's had Kendrick Perkins. He's had, you know, Hasheem Thabeet, you know, going back, Johan Petro. He's never really had a pick-and-roll center that can finish. Steven Adams is kind of becoming that, but he's not nearly as polished offensively as Kanter.
No.
And then, I don't, you know, Kanter, people say, well, what's gotten into Kanter? He hasn't had a point guard like Russell Westbrook, you know? I mean, Trey Burke's kind of struggled, you know, since he's gotten in the league. Dante Exum's 19. He's never had a guy that can command the attention that Westbrook's had and get him easy shots. I mean, Cantor's getting layups. He's getting absolutely wide-open jumpers. So I think that's why he's played a lot better than, you know, the Jazz fans are like, you know how it is on Twitter.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of mad about it. Like, why is this happening? It's like... You know, teammates do matter. What's surrounding a player does matter.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I've watched a full game. I'm gonna sink my teeth into the Phoenix game tonight. But you know, that's interesting to hear that. You know, but Westbrook. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Cantor is such a skilled guy. I mean, when we saw him with Utah, like obviously he wasn't Gobert. You know, but like on defense, but like he could still get buckets. Like that Utah big man rotation is better than most playoff teams' big man rotations. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the good thing is they bring him to Oklahoma City, and you know he doesn't need to be great on defense because, I mean, the other day when he had that 2010 game, he blew a few defensive assignments, but Serge Ibaka had 8 blocks.
Mm.
You know, he erased some of the mistakes, and I mean just. The Cantor just is what they needed in so many ways, I think, especially Westbrook and especially in Durant's absence, where, you know, offenses, you know, you lose the best offensive player in the world. Like, where are you going to get other offense? I think he's coming to perfect time for this team.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I never would have thought that we'd be talking about Enes Kanter, major factor for a playoff team.
But, yeah.
You know, here we are.
He's only 22, too. I mean, that's another good part about this trade is they add to a team that already has a ton of youth.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if they can re-sign in this offseason or if they do, though.
What's going on with Mitch McGarry? I saw you had a feature on him, and can you tell us a little bit about how his season's gone? I know he was hurt for a lot of the year.
Yeah, Darnell Mayberry actually wrote the feature on McGarry. I did a thing on Cantor and Westbrook today, but he didn't. I mean, you remember back to his freshman year at Michigan, right, where he had that crazy run in the tourney when they went Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was huge, and his stock was, like, super high after that. And then he decided to come back another year, which may have been a little surprising. And then his sophomore year, he had back surgery, and I think he played the first 8 games, then missed the rest of the year. So he goes 21 in the draft. He kind of falls farther than people expect because of the injuries. Comes in, and it looked honestly like early on in camp, it looked like, man, this guy could be a factor. Went up to Denver, had a really good first preseason game. But at the end of that game, he fractured his foot, missed. He didn't come back for till like mid-December from that. And then, I don't, have you seen him play some? I mean, I know he was on a national TV game against the Clippers.
That was the that was the I had seen him play. He basically just like he's just a guy that can just finish plays. Like he can really finish plays off. That was the one thing I really noticed about it, was that like if you give him a wide open jump shot or a layup, he's gonna score, which like obviously, you know, you think most NBA players could do that, but like not all of them are really good at it. And it seems like McGarry really has that
Especially,
knack.
yeah, big guys. He's got a lot of touch, but like the funniest part of his game, but also maybe like the one of his biggest skills is he's just like full throttle at all times. Like
How
he's
does that mesh with
just,
Westbrook?
hey, Westbrook loves it. I mean, he doesn't, he's not as, maybe not fit the games together like Cantor, but I mean, Westbrook loves the energy. But McGarry is not a guy I think that can play 35 minutes because he's a big dude that, like, I'm talking about full wind sprints up and down the court to get back. And the reason I say that is because he came back that first game and they put him in and he was like so excited. And this wasn't the Clippers game where he went off. This was the time he returned before that. He does that and he got like terrible shin splints after he played in that game and then missed like another month. And then he came back and they kind of eased him back, put him in the D League, let him get his conditioning. And that's since then he's been back, and you know, he had 19 and 10 in his first game against the Clippers on national TV. Then he went 17 and 10 the next night. And then now they kind of have him in this backup role. And he's a guy they just bring off the bench and like he just throws his body around. He's running up and down the court, flying around, big dude. He's another. They didn't get him in a trade, but it's almost like they did because he's just shown up out of nowhere.
Yeah, definitely. That's I mean, I felt like depth was always the biggest issue for the Thunder. You know, like obviously they had Durant and Westbrook, but I always felt that depth was the biggest thing, and it feels like they've solved that. I feel like this is this deepest Thunder team maybe ever.
Yeah, Nick Collison actually said that exact thing the other day, and I mean he's a guy that usually will tell us straight, and is, you know, he's good with the media, honest with the media, and yeah, that's what he said. He said, "I think this is deep. He's everyone on this roster can play." So, you gotta like it, but I mean it all comes back to can Durant stay healthy?
And obviously, I mean, do they, is there a sense, I mean, you know, if they win, but obviously his free agency still is kind of hanging over that team, isn't it?
I think it hangs over in the off season a lot more. It's just, to me, it's especially when it's 2 years away. It'll probably be more talked about next year because, I mean, he has, you know, he's under contract next season. But you know, it was talked about a lot this off season, and you thought going into the year, oh, this is gonna linger. But you know, this year's been filled with so much up and down, injuries, different things. Can they make the playoff storylines? That the free agency thing kind of hit the back burner. I mean, it does linger over to a point where like this team has a lot of pressure on it. It probably needs to win a title in the next 2 years, or at least at the end of that 2 years, be set up in a good place to convince him to stay around. But it doesn't get talked about, I think, as much as like national people think it does, at least around here.
Yeah, I mean, Aldridge's free agency, I mean, people around, you know, at least around the team don't really talk about it. And but I mean, I can't say, I mean, obviously a lot of people in the city talk about it. Blazers fans, you know, talk about that possibility, just 'cause it's there, you know, but it's not necessarily like a thing that lingers
Yeah,
over here.
I mean, you're a guy that covers a team on a day-to-day basis. Like, you can't just like we're not just gonna write about the same thing every day, you know?
No,
Like, everyone
exactly.
is aware. We've written about it. We're well aware that he's gonna be a free agent, just like everything with Aldridge. But you know, we're not covering the 2016 offseason right now. We're covering the 2014-15 season. So it's like, you know, we're going to like there's a lot of very interesting storylines happening now that will you know, if they win a title this year, it's gonna be tough, or next year, it's gonna be tough for Durant to leave. We don't know if that's gonna happen. So we're just, you know, I usually hear Durant off-season stuff more when I go on national radio shows than anything.
Obviously, Durant and Westbrook had some things to say about the media. And Michelle Roberts came out, the Players Union president, talking about, that a lot of media are just in there standing around, not asking any questions. She was concerned about it being an invasion of privacy, the locker room media access. The Pro Basketball Writers Association released a statement in response, which I thought was very well thought out and thorough. But so being close to, at least Durant and Westbrook's situations and what they said, could you shed any light to, maybe their attitudes, I guess, so far this year towards the media, and then maybe talk about Michelle Roberts as well?
Well, I almost feel like Westbrook's kind of maybe the player she's almost talking about that she went into the locker room and talked to, because he hates. I think he hates more than anything is the pregame availability, the time when you can go into that locker room for like 30 minutes. He does not like media members in his like territory,
In his
which
space, yeah.
yeah, which I mean, like if you go into the Thunder locker room pregame and you even glare towards Westbrook like you're gonna come over and try to interview him, he's gonna scowl right back, like don't even think about it. So, and in some ways I understand it. I don't really like the pregame availability in the locker rooms, anyways. I don't know how you feel about them.
It has a purpose for when you need something from a specific guy, say like something comes up and like Aldridge with his hand injury, like you need to, he's about to play. He just told us the game before he's gonna be out for 2 months. He's got to say something about it. And so like there's things like that, or you're working on something that you didn't get someone at practice or something like that. You can go in there and get them if you need to, but obviously you also have to stay in there and wait a lot of times because guys are lifting, guys are working out, guys are going to chapel, guys are watching a game that's going on, got all this stuff that they're not around, and they might only actually be there for like 5 minutes of the 30-minute availability. So it's like, it's not like a lot of times you want to just stand around. Sometimes you just have to.
Yeah, no, for sure. Sometimes with like the Aldridge thing he mentioned, which we've had hundreds of those this year because it's always somebody either has just got injured or is coming back from an injury or this or that. I would prefer something like that where like a lot of people have to be in the locker room. If they just roll the guy out into in front of one of their little banners like they do with coaches before the games. I'd prefer they do that. I don't know why they don't a lot of times. And then the other stuff, you're right. I mean, a lot of times I'll just walk in like, oh, if I gotta talk to like I don't know, Steve Novak or something, so I'll walk in like, oh, is he sitting in his locker? Oh, he's not. Then I'll usually walk out. But you're right. Sometimes you need like there's this little window to catch somebody.
Well, also, like a lot of times, if you got a question that maybe is about something not necessarily related to the game, it's maybe like a bigger thing that other, like maybe you are specifically working on that other people are not interested in, and it wouldn't make sense if you asked them a question about it. Like, that's when you got to go in there pregame and go ask them about it. I mean, like, that's how I see it. 'Cause, like, postgame, it's a lot harder for them to get them to think about anything other than the game that just happened.
I do that. I use probably the pregame locker room way more with road teams. Like, oh, somebody on, because if it's a play, I can get a player practice. That's usually the easiest for me, or something different like that. Shoot arounds are really probably the best availability. But if
Yeah,
it's a
Blazers don't
road,
do shoot around.
oh, wow, never mind then. But that honestly is probably the best availability. And the Thunder have worked it so they've told all their players, because the new rule is if you're available at shoot around, you don't have to be available before the game. You just have to be available at one of the two. The Thunder now work it where they tell their players, if we have shoot around, you don't need to talk because you are technically available at shoot around, even if nobody requested you and talked to you. So if they have a shoot around, it's like pointless to go into the Thunder's locker room, basically.
Oh,
Nobody
totally.
will talk to you.
I mean,
But
I mean, ever since I've covered the beat was the year that they started instituting the option where you can choose to be available, and the entire team elected to not be available during shoot around. And then so they've just carried that over into this year. And so if you want to get a guy, so that's an entire availability that's just really not available for us here in Portland.
Yeah, that's the Thunder do the exact opposite of that is they promote, hey, if you want to talk to them, come to shoot around. Because if they have a shoot around, they won't be available pregame. And it's funny, I mean, if it's a back to back or a day game or something, they won't have shoot around. And you can tell the players, hey, when we walk in the locker room, knowing that they technically have to talk if we come up to them when they're usually used to not doing it. But, I don't know. It's a tough situation because the access is needed, and I think the NBA knows it. But I think there are some drawbacks to so much locker room access. I just wish
Oh,
there was
yeah.
more type press conferences and stuff. And then the one thing I just didn't like about her comments were just like, I don't want to be in there like waiting on these guys,
Yeah, no, if they had like a like for instance, if they just did it like the I was if they just did it like the playoffs where you're like, okay, you guys want to talk to this person and then they bring them out to a podium or whatever, or like if they do it, maybe in a similar way to soccer, which obviously is not very much, it's really difficult media access, but like you can get them on their way in and it's like this mixed zone type area. Like, yeah, I don't want to be in there while they're getting dressed. Like, I could wait for them to get dressed and then talk to us. Like, I'm not against that. It's just like, and they would be more comfortable and like, but I mean, yeah, I'm sure there probably are adjustments that need to be made, but at the same time, having an open locker room, I know with social media, it's easier to, get to know people now, especially celebrities and athletes. But, like for instance, like to get someone's tone to know whether they're joking or not or something, like that some of that like almost idle time where it's not just a direct Q&A. Like helps you get to know them. So like if they say something and like it might sound weird, but you're not taking it out of context because you know how that person talks.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think some of the issues, I do think, I don't know how it is too much in Portland. I mean, I've covered a few games there, but I'm not like in and out every day and in the Blazers locker room. I think they do allow maybe too much media at Thunder games. There's, websites that'll have five people there that, with all these there's a lot of TV guys that take up a ton of space with their cameras and stuff. They don't really ask questions. They just need sound bites about, whatever. And then, I mean, maybe it's for prime location, but I always think it's super awkward when the guy is like just out of the shower, like he's not close to being dressed yet, but everyone's goes over and starts circling around his locker because I mean I guess it's they want prime positioning, especially if they have a TV camera, but it's like a circle of human beings like around one person as he's like getting dressed. It's really awkward to me. I usually stay on the back and then slide to one of the sides and ask a few questions.
Yeah, I mean it's always easier. Obviously, you always prefer, especially guys are almost always way more willing to talk when the cameras are not there. If it's just you and them talking, it's usually a lot better. And yeah, obviously the scrum setting I'm sure for a lot of guys isn't that great, and they're not as comfortable, they're not as good, and they don't give as good of answers in those settings. Like I that's at least in my experience that they just don't.
Yeah, I mean, but even more than just the answers they're going to give, like, because with a guy like Russell Westbrook, for example, I mean, he's not going to give a great answer in a scrum setting, but I mean, he's not going to give a great answer if I walk up to him and talk to him one on one. He doesn't really like talking about basketball. He's okay if you talk to him about fashion or something, but he does not like talking about basketball or, why this play happened, why he shot this shot. He's going to give you bland answers and he's not going to be pleased about it.
Yeah, no, totally.
But I mean, deeper than just like what kind of answers they're gonna give, I just think it creates for a weird environment when there's just like the pack of people around one dude while he's getting dressed, and like you can tell they're like, like back up. Like he's a few times and like, man, give me some space, give me some space. It just creates for weird situations.
No, totally. A guy like that on the Blazers is definitely, it's a lot of people don't really know this, but it's definitely Robin Lopez. Like, don't talk to Robin Lopez about basketball. Like, just don't. Talk to him about movies. You can talk to him about anything, but just don't talk to him about basketball. So, But you know, the Thunder, you know, back to, you know, the basketball now. I'm sure that the very inside baseball media stuff was interesting to a few people. So
Yeah.
I hope it was anyway. Thunder going into Phoenix tonight. I mean, is Phoenix is done, but like they got rid of their pick that they had. I'm kind of confused about what they're doing.
I was confused when they traded both Dragic and Thomas. I mean, I guess it does help their future. I did not like the trade that, you know, they gave up that Lakers unprotected pick. But I mean, I guess if you get Brandon Knight and they better be sure they're re-signing him. But you know, I think they understood that they probably weren't getting in the playoffs this season. Because when they made the, I believe the Thunder were a half game out when the trade happened, and they were obviously rising. News of Durant's injury hadn't come out, and so I think they're kind of planning for the future, and I think it was a future move for them because they get 2 first-round picks from the Heat for a guy that, while he was great for them this year, sounded like there was no shot he was coming back. So it was just a move for the future, but yeah, I think we can eliminate them from this year's playoff race, yes.
But I know that the Thunder are rolling and all their guys are hurting now for the Pelicans, but like I really thought for a while there the Pelicans might hang around just 'cause Davis is so good. I mean, they got that win at Oklahoma City, which was nuts.
Yeah, that's the Thunder's only loss this month, actually, that Davis double clutch buzzer beater. They're 9-1 with that being the only loss. But yeah, I just don't think they got enough talent around him. And while Davis is incredible, he still is 21. He has the shoulder stuff going on. They're just not near the team the Thunder is. And now that the Thunder have hit this role and have upgraded their roster, like it seems like they have. Really, I mean, honestly, I kind of the Thunder are only 2 games behind the Spurs right now, and they're playing way better basketball than San Antonio, and have already beat them once this year. So if they beat them one more time, they hold the tiebreaker. I kind of think if the Pelicans or the Suns can hang around, which I don't know that they will, I think they'll be chasing the Spurs in a couple weeks and not the Thunder.
That's gonna be wild if the Spurs slip all the way to 8.
Yeah, I mean, only two. I mean, Blazers beat them last night, only 2 games out. And things aren't looking good for them right now. I mean,
They
I'm
don't.
assuming you were at the game last night.
Yeah, they did not look very good. Parker looks like a.
Parker's the one that's really struggling, right?
Yeah, he looks like a shell of himself. And I mean, and it was just like, you know, you saw. It was weird. Like, it looked almost like the Blazers and the Spurs, like, switched uniforms last night for a little bit. Because, like, you know, the Spurs would have these flashes of brilliance, which, like, this year the Blazers have had, like, you know, flashes of really, really good play on both ends, but really haven't strung it together, like, really awesomely. And they just did it for the entire game almost on, you know, last night. And the Spurs basically just, like, were limited to, like, these little runs, which is, like, not what you expect from the Spurs. You expect them to be on you for the entire game, always making you pay for mistakes. And like Blazers had more turnovers than them, and the you know, and they still, you know, managed to win the game by 16 points or whatever. And so it was interesting to see. You know, I think I forget it was Bill's. I think it's Bill Simmons, obviously. You know, when it goes in the NBA, it usually, I don't know if they're done yet, but we could be seeing. I mean, we could be seeing it.
Yeah, it's just tough for me to write them off, and
I yeah, exactly.
because they're the Spurs. But you know, at this point, of the 8 playoff teams in the West, they're playing the worst basketball right now, for sure. So,
Yeah, and then the Dallas situation with Rondo and Carlisle. I mean, obviously the Mavs are, you know, they're in the 5th seed right now, and they have 39 wins. They're about to get to 40 wins, but that seems like an interesting situation over there in Dallas, with the whole Rondo situation getting suspended. And I don't know. I just don't think Dallas is that good.
I don't either. I mean, I think they're as beatable as any team in the West. They're at 5 right now, you said?
Yeah, so they'd
Where
play
the
Portland if
Portland's at 4.
yeah.
Yeah, I if I'm any team in the West, basically, I'd be looking. If you had to pick a team out of the West for a first round matchup, I think I'd pick Dallas right now if you're anybody else.
Yeah.
The Rondo thing seemed to screw with their chemistry a little bit. I mean, maybe they can, solve stuff, and they still got a bunch of guys that can get hot. Ellis, Nowitzki, obviously, Parsons. But we'll see. What are the Blazers up on the Thunder right now? Like five? There's these, now that the Thunder have played
Five
so
and a
well this
half.
month, yeah, now that the Thunder have played so well this month, there's like, how fans go from super optimistic to super pessimistic,
Yeah.
depending on what's going on. There's people saying, like, can they catch the Blazers for the division? Because that gives them a top four seed if they did that.
Right.
That seems like a very tall task, but Portland's, they've been struggling, right?
Yeah,
What
I
were they,
mean,
six
they
and seven and 11 in their last like 18, something like that?
like I mean, as you said, they beat San Antonio last night, but San Antonio's playing probably the worst basketball out of all those Western Conference playoff teams. They beat Houston right before the break in Houston, which was a good win, but they also blew. They had a 13-point lead against Dallas with under 3 minutes left, and they blew that. So I mean, and then Memphis came in, they blew another lead against Memphis. I mean, they've got the Kings coming up after the Thunder over the weekend, but their schedule, it doesn't get any easier. I mean, like, they've got heavy West teams, not very many East games left, which they've been really good at beating bad teams and beating teams in the East, but not so good against, actual teams that they're going to face in the playoffs. I mean, the Aflalo trade looks, it looked really good last night. I'll say
I
that.
like it. I liked it when I heard about it. And he's a guy that people were, I kind of thought that was a guy the Thunder should have gone after this summer when he was available, and even, before the All-Star break. I like him just as a two-way player that helps a roster. I do think Friday's very important though for the people that think the Thunder still have an outside shot to catch Portland for the division. I
They've
think
got to
Portland
win.
kind of puts it away Friday if they win, or the Thunder kind of creep back in it if they can steal one.
Let's see. They're 5.5 out right now.
So they'd be it,
So
let's
they'd be
just
four. So they'd
if
be 4.5. Well, if they win tonight,
yeah.
they're 5 back. And then if they win tomorrow, they're 4 back. And then it could get interesting because then the season series is tied, right? Or is there one more? There's one more.
I think there's one more, but I mean then if the Thunder it's in Oklahoma City.
Right.
And if the Thunder can win that, plus I mean so they'd be 4 back. And then right after that, the Thunder go Lakers Sixers the next
Which
two
is
games
like
after
given
that.
and
Yeah, win-win. So I mean it th this is a interesting 2 days for the Thunder coming up, and then for the Blazers, I think it's kind of important to maybe put the Thunder away Friday. I don't know, it'll be an interesting game.
Yeah, they're gonna need to. I mean, and also, I mean, the last time they came here, they had Westbrook, but they didn't have Cantor. They didn't have all these guys who were actually, like, really.
Ibaka has been like that's the kind of like the undersold part of this hot streak is Ibaka. Serge Ibaka had a down first half. He'd been playing not near the level he was the previous few years, and since the All-Star break, he's been a monster. He had a 20-20 game the other night. He's had like four straight double doubles. He's been really good. So.
And you look at Portland's schedule here. I mean, Sacramento has played them tough. Obviously, if you're going to Sacramento, Cousins could beat you on a given night. And they got to go to the Clippers, who don't look very good with Blake or without Blake right now.
They can. I mean,
It's at
LA
home
can win a
though.
game at oh in Portland or in
It's at
Boston.
LA. It's at Staples.
See, I mean that's about a toss up though.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean they've got a tough road ahead of them, but Oklahoma, the
Five.
way Oklahoma City's playing, I mean they have, I think, I mean is Russell, how high would they have to finish for him to seriously be considered an MVP? Because like I feel like I haven't heard it enough.
I don't. I think it wouldn't be. They wouldn't have to finish like too high. I think they could finish six or so, or maybe if they overtook the Blazers for the division and got that top four seed, it'd be possible. I just think if Durant misses another, 2 weeks or so, and he keeps playing at this level, which I mean, this is tough to ask. He's playing at like an historic rate right now.
Like,
Every game, it's like you read it like, oh, nobody had this stat line since, Oscar Robertson in 77 or something like that. So I don't know that he can play at this level, but if continually, but if he does, you can't keep him out of the MVP conversation.
Yeah, I know, and it's going to be interesting to see how they just keep charging along. And no, yeah, tomorrow is kind of, understatedly huge game for both teams, 'cause, and you look back at the whole series, especially if it gets close to the end, Aldridge was had like a he was like super sick. I think when they last played in Oklahoma City. And Westbrook gets a technical or whatever in the last 2 minutes, and like those games,
They left Lillard wide open for that shot.
yeah, it was like, have we did they not watch the Houston
I know, it was the
series? Like,
exact same play too. Yeah, that comes back. That could potentially come back to be a killer game for the Thunder. As far as getting, if it comes down to being close towards the division at the end of the year.
definitely. Yeah, no, Westbrook tomorrow. I'm gonna be very excited. Yeah, the Portland crowd's usually very good, but Westbrook really loves to be the villain, so like
Oh yeah.
that's just gonna be a ton of fun to see Westbrook. This year, I mean, I just feel like he might be the most, he's got to be the most exciting play. I mean, him or Curry, I don't know who's more exciting to watch this
It's
year.
like it's I kind of like it because they're two ridiculously exciting players that do it in like complete different styles, where Curry's just like, controls the ball so well, has it on string. He throws floaters like high off the glass. He'll get like super hot from like 30 feet. And along with that crowd and that team, it's like fun to watch. And then Westbrook, it's just like he's just full throttle both ways. Like, just will like he's getting to the rim, and you're like, there's nothing you can do about it type stuff. So, I don't know who's been, more fun to watch, but they've both been crazy fun to watch, and in their different styles.
Yeah, the West has just been like, it's just been too much fun. Like, I want the Western Conference regular season to like just lat to they should just like have the eight teams play a regular rotating regular season schedule, like right
Yeah,
now. It would just be so much fun.
and then it's like, man, the East. Like, I don't want to bag on the East too much because, I do like some of the teams out there, but it's you just they're just league pass teams that you're like, oh, that game's on, I'm all right.
Yeah. Well, the Hawks are obviously
Yeah, yeah.
they are in their own league.
The Hawks to me are like a Western Conference team, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't think they're. I think if you put them in the West, they'd probably be like a four seed or something. But yeah, I mean that I'm super excited when, but it's usually like, oh, the Hawks are playing like a good West team, like I'm pumped. But it's never like, oh, Hawks, Wizards, I'm really excited about that game. But I like the Hawks, I like the Cavs. Bulls don't excite me too much to
Not
watch.
even, well, not anymore. It's just, the
Yeah,
D-Rose
I mean,
stuff.
yeah, it kind of has like a depressing tone to their games.
Yeah, well, yeah, it just, I mean, I've heard some people suggest that it doesn't totally kill them, but I mean, Aaron Brooks, I don't think is going to be the starting point guard
No.
on a team in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I just, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's
I don't either, but Tibbs has this weird way of like his like backup point guards when Rose goes out like have career numbers. It's crazy. Like Nate Robinson,
Yeah.
DJ Augustine, who's now playing for the Thunder last year, like he went off once he got that starting job. It's I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I agree with you. I think it'll probably be Cavs Hawks.
Yeah,
Unless they meet up before, and they might seeding might dictate they meet in the second round, so.
Well, right now they're 1-3, so if that holds, as long as the Cavs finish in the top two, in the top three seeds, they'll avoid them until the conference finals.
That'd be good. I'd be excited about that series.
Yeah, that'd be way better than, like those the Indiana Miami series were okay, but like Hawks
They had some
cat,
drama to them.
they had some
I
drama,
like
but
those.
like they weren't as good as like my
Yeah.
imagination of Hawks Cavs is just like.
Well, remember the Pacers Heat series, like when Indy, like 2 years ago, when Indiana was like this up and comer, and I think they had a 2-1 lead on them, and
Oh,
like
right.
that was a good series. Last year's was like, because the Pacers had really fallen off, and you could tell the Heat were just, I think they beat them in five,
Yeah, no,
and it was
that.
like, meh,
Yeah, you just knew that they had their number at that point. And like, it, the whole team, I mean, the Pacers had just kind of fallen apart.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, the fact that and people were shocked that the Pacers had made it out of the first round. Like, the Hawks should have beat them. last year in the first round.
Almost did. I think it went seven. I think they were up like 3-2 at one point.
Yeah, they were up. I think they were winning in game six at home or something. And they just couldn't close it out. And, you know, obviously, you know, the Hawks are going to get to play some terrible team in the first round.
Well, fine. I guess Bosch is probably officially. I think he's officially out.
That's a major bummer because Cavs Heat with Bosch healthy was actually in play.
Yeah, which would have been. I mean, the Heat would have been pretty good with that. They would have had like a really good starting lineup with Dragic, Wade, Deng, Bosch, Whiteside. I mean, no depth and really fragile as far as like can get injured. All those guys, but yeah. But they would have been an interesting 7-8 coming out of the East.
Yeah,
that's kind of taken away.
Brooklyn, I almost don't even want Brooklyn to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean, do you want Charlotte?
I mean, I don't know. I'd rather see. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I guess Charlotte's not. A lot of my Charlotte thoughts are like I loved Charlotte last year, and like they were kind of a darling. And then they just, like, you know, Big Al hurt his foot and all that stuff, and then they just kind of fell apart.
Yeah. If you watch their games this year, though, they play this, like, slow-it-down style. It's not pleasing to watch.
No, and I hate watching Lance Stephenson. Like, he is my least favorite player to watch in the league. And like, I used to love him. I get his skills, but, man, he takes some of the worst shots and is just... It's awful. And he's like not even like he's so talented defensively, but I swear like he makes so many just like boneheaded defensive plays. He's young, but you know, it's just I hate watching him play.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good options in the back end of that East. I mean, the Bucks are right now about to pass like the Wizards and be like a four or five.
I do kind of like the Bucks. Like if there's an East team that I like watching. You know, that's not the Cavs or the Hawks. I would say I would watch the Bucks just because, like, I love the Greek Freak. Obviously, he just like gets to the basket in two steps, and their defense is crazy good.
Yeah, they got a lot of length. They probably lead the league in wingspan.
If they had, I've been saying this for like you know forever now, and it's not that hard to you know of an observation, but like if they had Jabari. What that series, if it was like 6-3 versus the Cavs with Jabari and Giannis and, you know, the way that team plays defense against the Cavs would have been really fun. Or like against the Raptors, like they could have beaten the Raptors with Jabari.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Raptors seem very beatable to me. So
yeah, they're very fragile. I don't think they're as good as maybe we thought. I haven't seen them really as much since DeRozan came back though. So. But I don't know, their big man rotation seems kind of weak.
Yeah. It will be mildly interesting. The East will be mildly interesting while the West will be. I mean, it's tough. My thing with the West is, like, I want to see the Thunder in a series with, like, everyone.
And, right.
You know, a max you get three series.
Yeah. So. No, and I mean, if they finish seven, they'd be projected to play against Memphis, which I don't want to see again.
You know who doesn't want to see that even more than you is Memphis. You know how mad Memphis is going to be? They finally had this like great season, and they sit there and go, really? Again? The Thunder? I mean, that'll be the fourth time in the last 5 years they played the Thunder.
Yeah, that's going to be brutal. Yeah, that goes back to when Gravis Vasquez was on the Grizzlies. Like, that's how long they've been playing the Thunder. I definitely... Portland versus the Mavericks. I mean, as they are right now, they'd be okay. San Antonio, Memphis, Golden State Thunder would be just like the greatest series if Durant was healthy. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to, you know, especially if the Thunder win tomorrow, it's going to be a really interesting close of the season for that division. Like, I mean, everyone thought it was wrapped up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Blazers struggles, and then this like resurgence. The Thunder are playing the best basketball in the league right now without Durant, so it should make for an interesting finish if things keep trending this way.
If you had to guess, where do you think the Thunder finish the season seated?
Just because It just seems like this is what the world wants. I think it's going to be seven, and I think they're going to face the Grizzlies in the first round. And the exact opposite of last year, which was Thunder at two, playing the Grizzlies at seven, who had had the Marcus Ole injury, which is why they were so low seeded.
Right. Yeah, so
And
it's
where
basically a
everyone was
reverse
complaining
scenario.
in Oklahoma City, like, well, you know, God, we got to play Memphis. And then now it's going to be, I think it's just going to be the opposite. I just think that's what, it just seems so destined to me.
Yeah. I really like Memphis this year, but a series against Oklahoma City could definitely change a lot of those things.
Yeah, that's how it is in the West, though. You know, only four teams gonna make it out of the first round. Only two are gonna make it to the Western Conference Finals. So,
No, yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of teams that go home thinking they could have won the title that are going to lose in the first round this year.
yeah, I mean, if the Thunder are eight, then either the Thunder or the Warriors will not be out of the first round, which seems crazy.
I used to really hate the change from the 5-game series to the 7-game series, but with how ridiculously good the West is, I think that
It's
having
needed.
it's needed to have a 7-game series now because of how loaded the West is. They should just make all the East series 5 games.
Three games.
Or the yeah, that's cold. I mean, I think the East is a little bit better this year, I will say.
No. I mean, I could see the Cavs winning the title. I could see the Hawks winning the title. Just like the Heat would come out and win the title, even though the West was way better. The Heat still won it a couple years in a row, so.
Yeah. No, I don't know what's happened with Washington. They look like they, I mean, Beal's hurt right now, but I don't necessarily, I don't think I can believe in them that
No,
much.
they're like the Raptors to me, so.
Yep. All right, Anthony. Well, yo, thanks for coming on, man. Looking forward to tomorrow's game. It's gonna be fun to watch. These two teams usually have pretty good games.
Yeah, that's another team. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but you know, I'd really like to see a Thunder Portland series. I don't know how that configures until maybe later in the playoffs, but that'd be a cool city for us to go to, and I think it would actually be a very good series.
I think it would be too. I think these teams have been destined to play in a playoff series for quite a while, and we haven't really gotten the chance yet. So, let's see. I mean, if they hang in the 8 seed and Portland hangs out in the 4-5, you know,
Second round, maybe,
second
yeah.
round maybe. If not, they would have to be in the conference finals. But it's been a weird year in the West. So, can't wait for a weird playoffs. But thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Y muy buena.